Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know that I can follow all that. I tell you what, this was great with the kids up here. Brody, the song service has been excellent. Dick, where'd Dick go? There he is. Dick, great job up here. Tim, great job leading prayer. Folks, isn't it wonderful that we can do those things?
Amen.
That we can come together and be together and sing songs of praise. Isn't it wonderful that we can do all these things together as members of the body of Christ? As children of God. As part of the kingdom. As a family. This is what we are. And it is absolutely wonderful that we can come together and do those things. Now, Tim, I want you to know something. I was told a long time ago that it's illegal to hunt at night. Yeah, they, matter of fact, they got mad at me because I was spotlighting deer one night. They didn't like that. Yeah, they didn't like that very much. So just for your knowledge, so it's better to go to bed and sleep than, yeah. So. Well, it's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to be with you. It's wonderful that y'all are all here together. We have a lot of people here together that have been sick, that are back. And we're so glad that you're back. Yeah, notice who I'm looking at over there. So glad that you're back with us. And we want to continue to lift you up in our prayers and continue to lift you up before God so that you may become better and better and better all the time. This is a great opportunity that we have. And one of the things that we need to talk about today is about us being a new creature. If you have been baptized into Jesus Christ, when you came up out of that water, you're a new creature. You're not the same that you were before. You are different. You are raised in the likeness of His resurrection. We are all part of being a new creature. We're different. The old things have been put away, and the new things have been grasped hold of. And so with that in mind, I want to start off by asking you this morning, where are you? And I'm not saying, well, I'm right here in the church building. That's not what I'm saying. I'm asking the question, where are you in your walk with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Where are you in your walk with God? Are you walking in the light as He Himself is in the light? And therefore, do you have fellowship with God? Too many times, way too many times, I've seen this happen, that people are like the rich young ruler. They want to check stuff off, and when they've got it checked off, they feel like they're done. Well, that I've done since my youth. What lack I yet? I want it to be done. I want it to be over with. And one of the problems that I run into a lot are these teachers that are out there in the world that say, once saved, always saved. And that you can't fall away from God. Well, guess what? Yes, you can. Because it's always been, from the very beginning of time, it's always been your choice. You choose if you're going to walk with God, or you choose that you're not going to walk with God. It is your choice. And yes, we have temptation every day to walk away from God. But I thank the Lord God for the saving grace that comes through Jesus Christ, which brings us back to Him and back to that narrow way and where we can enter into that narrow gate. Folks, this is what we have to do. Baptism is not the end. It is the what? It is the beginning. Baptism is the start of your walk. It's not the end. And I've seen people, and I had this happen one time. I had an individual call me and said, Steve, he says, I've got five people that need to be baptized right now. I said, well, bring them on. Bring them on. I didn't know these people. Never met them before in my life. Didn't know anything about them. And so he couldn't do it because he had a bad back. And so he asked me to baptize all five of them. So I did. I baptized all five of them. After I baptized all five of them, I saw one again. They thought that's all they needed to do. They thought, I'm done. You hear a lot of times say, if you'll just say this prayer, then you'll be saved. Folks, there's not a prayer in the Bible that you can do that. It doesn't exist. And believe me, I've looked for it. It does not exist. What the prayer is, if you seek, you shall what? In other words, if you're seeking after God, you're going to find Him. You're going to find Him. But if prayer was the answer and that's all you had to do, then why did Saul have to be baptized? Why was it that he was told, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord. Why is that? It's because there's more to do than that. It is not the end. And so many people say, well, I've said the prayer. Therefore, and I hear this all the time, then I'm saved. No, you're not there. You're not there. There's more that needs to be done. And so when you look at it from that standpoint and you realize and understand that there's more to do, then folks, I've got to live my life for God. It's the beginning. It's the beginning. Yes, belief is something that you must do. And I'm not denouncing those who say that you must believe, because you must. But that doesn't end it. Because remember in James chapter 2, what does it say? Even the what? Even the demons believe and tremble, because they know what's waiting on them. Even the demons believe and realize that the demons knew who Jesus was before the apostles knew who Jesus was. The demons knew who Jesus was before the people who knew Jesus was. Because when Jesus met the man who had the legion of demons, what was their response? They said, what have we to do with thee, thou Son of God? They knew exactly who Jesus was. And they said to Jesus, have you come to torment us before our time? That's where the trembling comes in, because they knew what was waiting on them, and they were afraid that Jesus was come before it was time for them, and that they were going to be tormented. They knew it. Folks, realize that the demons believe. Belief isn't the end. Belief isn't the end. It's a beginning point, but it's not the end. Understand this too. Baptism is not the end. Now, I can tell you this point blank. That unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, John 3, chapter 5, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is a requirement. In Acts chapter 2, when they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What was his response? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us, in like manner, baptism now saves us. Understand, baptism is a requirement. And folks, if you have not been baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, then you're not there yet. You're not there. But then once you have been baptized, once you have done all these things to get to this point, I want you to understand this also, you're still not there yet. Because when you get there, will be the day that you stand before Jesus Christ Himself and He says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." These are the days that I'm hoping for. These are the days that we all hope for. When Jesus can tell us, "Well done. Well done." That means we have to live our lives in the manner in which Jesus desires for us to live our lives. We have to work towards it. We have to grow in the Spirit. We have to grow in knowledge. We have to grow in wisdom. And when that day ceases that we don't have to grow anymore, will be the day that we see Jesus face to face. Now, I want to start off in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, which is one of my favorites. Y'all know this already. Romans chapter 6 tells us that if we have been baptized into Jesus' death, then we are raised in the likeness of His resurrection. And therefore, we are to walk in the newness of life. Remember what Peter said? Repent and be baptized. Repentance is something that is required. It is a requirement that we repent. That means we turn away from, I'm not going to do those things anymore, or at least I'm going to strive not to do these things anymore. And let me tell you this also, the harder you strive not to do something, the easier it gets not to do it. I heard this one time before, it takes 7 days to create a habit. You ever heard that before? If you do the same thing 7 days every day, then it becomes a habit. I don't know how true that is. That's why your New Year's resolutions don't work, okay? 21 days. Well, that's the problem. I've only been doing 7. If I'd have done 21, I'd have made it work. That's why I say I don't know that that's true. Well, evidently it's not. 21 days. So I need to quit eating apple pie for 21 days. Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah. That's not going to happen, folks. Folks, I want you to understand that we can develop attitudes. We can develop habits. We can increase our knowledge, our wisdom, simply by starting something. Starting something. If you start studying the Bible, and like I've told you before, just take 10 minutes out of the day. 10 minutes. Read 2 or 3 verses. Then it's not going to be long before you're reading 4 and 5 verses. It's not going to be long before you start studying rather than just reading, because studying means you read over something and you say, hey, that reminds me of this. You turn over to that and you start studying that. Hey, that reminds me of this. Turn over there and you start studying that. And you know what? Before long, that 10 minutes turns into an hour. And folks, I know that works because I've done it. If you just start doing it, then it happens. It grows. Now, we as a new creature means that we are not like we were before. Have you ever met somebody that when they grew up, they did everything under the sun? They were ornery. I love that term. They were ornery. They were mean. They did things that they shouldn't have been doing. They were what I call rounders. In other words, they did whatever was around them. Anything in the world, they would do those things. And then, as the prodigal son, when they came to their senses and realized that that's not the way to live your life, and they turned over that new leaf and started following God and following Christ, remember that person, how much they had changed? Think about Saul versus Paul. He literally saw the light on the road to Damascus. And think about the change he made. He went from being the leading persecutor to the leading teacher. See how that works. See how that works. This is what we are talking about. Being that new creature. I'm not like I was before. I'm different now. I speak different. I act different. I go with different people. I do different things. I encourage. I teach. I bring people to Christ. That's that new creation. Now today, I want to look at some qualities of that new creature. And each one of these points that I bring up about this new creature, I want you to think to yourself, where am I in that spot? You'll see exactly what I mean here in just a second. Where am I in that spot? And let's start with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. It starts out and says that in reference to your former ways of life, the way that you were before, you are to rid yourself of the old self, which is being corrupt in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you are to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. To be renewed in the spirit of your minds. To rid yourself of that old self and bring yourself to a new self. That means to become Christ-centered. In your days, as you go through the day, how much do you think about Jesus Christ? In your day, as you're going through your day, how often do you think about God? And I want you to know that the more Christ-centered you are, the less apt you are to go down that wrong path. Because your mind goes back to, what would Jesus do? Your mind goes to what would God have me to do? The more you think about God, the more you think about Jesus Christ, the more you become more Christ-like. The more you become less apt to be tempted. All these things fall into place. So therefore, we must become Christ-centered in our thoughts daily. And that should be without ceasing. Every minute, every day, I'm more and more thinking about Jesus Christ. So my question to you is, where are you on that? Do you think about God any at all during the day? Do you think about Him two or three times a day? You think about Him all day. This is being Christ-centered. Second, look at this one. Ephesians 4:21. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus. Now with these words, understand this. To grow in Christ, you must stand firm in the truth. Manny was talking about that little form that we have here that has all these ministries that we have that we offer here. And we have a bunch. There's no reason for you not to get involved in something. And if something that you like to do that's not on there, guess what you have to do? All you have to do is come tell us. And we'll say, that's great. Go ahead and do that. Get on it. John Whitlow made that mistake one time. He said, I'd like to see this done. And the elder said, great, go do it. Go do it. Have at it. That sounds wonderful. And John's done it two or three times, and I don't think he's figured it out yet. But I do want you to know this, that if there's something out there that you'd like to do, folks, there's probably other people along with you that might want to do the same thing. Jump out there and get after it. Because everybody has a talent, everybody can go out there into the world, and everybody can teach the gospel both in action and in word. But we must stand firm in the truth which is in Jesus Christ. Therefore, come to our worship services. Come to our Bible classes. Be a part of those because they will help you know the truth, so therefore you can stand more solid in it. Thirdly, put people to the test. This is important because there's an awful lot of false teaching out there. I mentioned some this morning. Benny was telling me about a deal this morning where he had looked at that they were denouncing baptism. And my question is, why would you denounce baptism? If Jesus thought it was important enough for Him to be baptized, then guess what? It's important enough for us to be baptized too. Why in the world would you denounce such a thing? But people are doing it. People are doing it. Folks, realize what's true and what's not true. And if you run into a situation, ask them, say, show me in the Bible where that is. And the response that I usually get when I tell somebody to do that, when they tell me something, I say, well, you know, I've never read that before. Why don't you show me where that is? They say, well, I'm not sure where it is, but I know it's in there. Y'all heard that before? I'm not sure where it is, but I know it's in there. Well, you know what? There's computer programs that are out there that you can type in one word and it'll show you every verse that word is in the Bible. So that you say, well, what's a key word? I'll type it in. We'll see if it's in there. Oh, no, I don't have time for that. No, folks. I'm telling you, if they can't show it to you in the Scripture, then it's not in there. So reject false teachers. Reject false teaching. Hold firm to the Word. And when I say hold firm to the Word, I'm not saying hold firm to somebody's commentary out there or somebody's thought process out there. Hold firm to what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us this, that there has been no temptation except that which is common to every person. In Hebrews chapter 4, it tells us, verse 15 and 16, that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are tempted. Think about that for just 1 second. Every way that you have been tempted, Jesus has been tempted. But I also want you to understand this as well, that Jesus did not have the opportunity like we do. Because he had to face every temptation, and therefore he had to overcome every temptation. We've got a different opportunity. You know why? All we have to do is resist. We resist temptation, and guess what happens? Satan flees from us. Satan flees from us. Jesus was tempted every way that we are tempted. And there is no temptation that you can get today that has not already happened to people before you. There is no such thing. Now, I will tell you this, it comes at you from different directions today than it used to. Before there was television, it was different. Before there were computers, it was different. Now, I don't remember a time before television, but I do remember a time when we had channel. We didn't have channels. Yeah. We had one channel. It was Channel 5 out of Fort Smith. That was the channel we had. And it was on a black and white TV and had antennas out of the back of the TV like that. And since I was the youngest in the family, I had the job of sitting in front of the TV and working the dial to where when it started to roll, you adjusted it to where you stop it. And that was my job the whole time. And some of y'all are laughing because some of you remember that. Yeah. And some of you aren't laughing because he's going, what is he talking about? Yeah, that was my job because I was the youngest. I was the youngest. Work that little dial. And we didn't have a remote back then. When we started having channels, when they first came out with 12 channels, man, that was big time. I got to change the channel. That was my job. Folks, we didn't have TVs. Before we had cars. Before we had computers. Now, I remember that very well before we had computers. We actually had to do math. You didn't have a little calculator to figure it out. You actually had to do it. Yes, temptations come at you in a different manner But I want you to know it's the same temptation. It's the same. So therefore, as we grow in Christ, as we grow as a new creature, we are more apt to reject temptation. Reject it. Turn away from it. Go a different way. Romans 12:2 says this, "And do not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed, renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." This means focus on that which is good. Reject that which is evil. Turn away from the bad. Look at the good. Have a positive attitude. And oftentimes, I fall short. Have a positive attitude. Look to that which is good always and focus your attention on those things. 1 John 1:7 says this, that we need to have fellowship with God, and if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we will have that fellowship. Fellowship is ours. As long as we follow God in everything that we do, the fellowship is there. And this one as well, 1 Corinthians 6:11. In 1 Corinthians 6:10, it talks and lists off all these different things that these people were. They were idolaters. They were adulterers. They were fornicators. He lists off all these things that these people were, and then he says, "And such were some of you." I asked the question one time, I said, "Go back and read that verse before this and see if you can check off some of the things that you were." But the response is this, "But we were washed, but we were sanctified, but we were justified because we have been buried with Christ in baptism." We are no longer that way. We have changed. Now, I want you to understand this, that as Christian people, we need, you and I, need to continue to grow. You and I need to continue to strive to do better. You and I need to continue to learn, continue to have wisdom, continue to follow God's plan. This is something we should do all the days of our lives. And at that last point, when it is time, and we stand before Jesus, and He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," we don't have to grow anymore. You know why? Because at that point, we will be known even as we are known. Or we will know even as we are known. At that time, all knowledge will be given to us. Hope will be transformed into sight. Faith will no longer be necessary because it's happening right then, right now. But as Paul says, one thing's going to last forever, and that is the love of God will never cease to be with you. Folks, realize God's love is what overcomes sin. God's love is what overcomes temptation. And the love that you have for God, the love that you have for God, will cause you to grow in His knowledge, in His wisdom, and in His love. Growing every day as we walk this life. Folks, where are you? Where are you in your walk? Where are you in your travel? Are you moving closer to God? Or are you moving away? Or are you staying stagnant? What do we need to do? We need to move closer. Always moving toward God, because that is our destination. If you have a need this morning, a need for baptism, or a need for our prayers, we ask you to come while together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.
See?